The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 318. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
It's Thursday.
Brett Murdoch. Ahoy, hoy.
Hey, party people.
I said, what up?
There you are. All right.
Yeah, man. I wasn't even on mute.
Damn, that's crazy. Nobody, oh, none of us heard.
We didn't hear that. We didn't hear that.
Fake news.
What up, people?
Hey, and Brian Manjoma.
The evil has been defeated.
Resident Evil.
Yeah, Brian feels the relief all the way over there.
Right. You know.
No,
that guy.
We're not getting into that on this show. I forbid that talk on Throwdown. Anyway,
you should not be named.
Oh man. All right. Go Geriatrics. Anyway, so we're back. By the way, I don't know where the hell Chris is. We're going
to
talk about Resident Evil, his favorite franchise of all time. This motherfucker's not here.
He's in attendance, baby. Yeah. Either tending to his baby or he's playing the demo.
We would be able to see him playing.
Yeah.
He hit it,
man, I'm supposed to be on Throwdown right now, but you know, I still gotta play this demo. I gotta find these.
I gotta get all the bobbleheads.
You know? So anyway, outside of like world news, nothing fucking happened this week. It was dead in gaming. It was like, today we finally got some big news, and we could have talked about it last week because they actually announced the Resident Evil showcase last week, but what are we going to do? Just speculate? It's like, we don't fucking do that around here. You know, I may go off about that later on, by the way, because we need to fill up time, and your boy's had a little bit of a chip on his shoulders, man. A little heated right now.
Are you chipping?
I'm chipping, man. These motherfuckers on Twitter, man. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about the Resident Evil showcase, all that went down. Very short showcase, as short as the demo. Then we're also going to talk about we're also going to talk about the whole Hitman 3 controversy, because there's always, hey, there's Chris, let's fucking go.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. Yeah, Chris, man, we can't do a Resident Evil themed episode without you, man. You're, man, not only you and Kristen, you are like the Resident Evil couple. Cannot do this without you, man. You know,
man, I was excited watching that shit. I even got happy about that RE-verse thing because it doesn't look like trash like the other two.
Yeah,
like Umbrella Corps or Resistance. But
because they're trying again. Anyway, let's pull it back a little bit. So yes, today at 5 p.m. Eastern, they showed the Resident Evil showcase, and we already knew they were going to be showing off some Resident Evil 8, but we were like, what other things are they going to show? So let's talk about the Resident Evil 8 news first. So right out of the gate, it is coming out May 7th of this year, and surprisingly, because they originally said they were not going to do these versions, it is also coming to last-gen systems, PS4, Xbox One. So it's coming to everything but Switch. So there you have it. But yeah, Chris, what do you think of the footage they showed?
It looked pretty good. The story gets a little more interesting because we've seen all the art on Twitter of this 8-foot-tall fucking chick looks like she stepped out of the 1920s, you know, and I was like, who the hell is this? And apparently she's like a major villain. I don't know who exactly she is, but she is literally like 8 feet tall. She's freaking gigantic. And then she's scary as shit because I played the demo. And if you play till the end, you see why she's scary. But I like the stuff that they said. It seems like they're going to expand more on Ethan Winters. Like, so you play him in RE7, but you don't know anything about him, really. You know, and I don't know. I have a theory that he is part of Umbrella Corporation, like old Umbrella, because there was an Easter egg in RE4, and his name is on a list that you find in a Wesker file. But it's just Ethan W. So I had this theory a long time ago, like maybe he's connected to Umbrella somehow, or maybe he was a scientist or some shit, but I don't know that for sure. I'm hoping that this game will elaborate more on his past, because we know Chris Redfield shows up at his house and all this shit. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, he's
one of the Wesker children.
One interesting thing, this is something we don't know 100% sure yet, but it sounds like the that 8 foot tall vampire pale chick, whatever she is, she's apparently this game's answer to Mr. X or Nemesis. So that's going to be interesting, having this big bitch just chasing you the entire game, you know. And I said this on Twitter, I'm like, yo, because you, I don't know if you guys have seen, or, you know, talking to the audience right now, you guys in the panel, I've seen this. There are some thirsty dudes for this chick, you know. So I'm thinking, like, some of these guys won't even finish the game because they're going to let themselves get caught by her all the time. Like, oh, yeah, baby, give it to me, you know. And then she fucking eviscerates yeah, them. You give it to me, baby, let's go. You know, motherfuckers jerking off playing the game and shit. It's like, all right. You know, so you ain't they are going to finish, but in a different way, you know. But it would be kind of like a break from tradition, right? Because, like, you have this big, usually have these big, grotesque, hideous monsters coming after you. Now you got this chick that looks like she came out of a speakeasy coming after you, you know?
Yeah.
So pretty cool stuff. But yeah, I played a demo just like you did. Short 15-minute demo. Scary as fuck, though. I was like, your boy, man. Mm-mm. And then a PS5 graphics make it look even scarier, you know? It's so real.
It was pretty scary, and there's a lot of throwbacks to Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
I mean, they showed the menu system now where you keep your items. It looks like the briefcase, right, from RE4, and you can even twist and turn items to Tetris in them in there. Yeah. And then, I mean, the whole idea of the village and then going to a castle is the same thing like Resident Evil 4, right? You start in a village, you go to Salazar's castle. We see the tall woman. I don't know. What to call her? I'll just call her the tall woman.
She,
like the tall man from Phantasm. She's a tall woman.
Boy.
And she's talking on the phone to someone. So there is a big boss, like a final person that she answers to. That we get that hint, and we get the name. I forgot her name. She calls her mother something or another. I forgot. But there's the so spirit, she's not the. Know. She's not.
By the way, she's not unnamed. They actually do name her. It's just I don't know what the hell her name is.
I forgot her name. Yeah.
Yeah. She has so like some old timey kind of name, like Ida something. I don't know, but yeah.
Constance.
Yeah. It's her last name is kind of Frenchy, but her first name is not crazy. It's like one of those turn of the century type of woman names, you know.
Yeah, and then so I encourage everyone to play the Maiden demo. If you have right now, it's PS5 exclusive. But if you have PS5, play it, and because you're getting some lore in there that's going to lead into the game. I'm thinking, and this is not a spoiler, but I'm thinking that this demo is happening in the past, based on a file I read.
Yes.
So I you know the whoever you're playing is. Wrote the file, you know, and it's stuck in there. And yeah, I can see where the vampire thing comes from. You know, play it. You know, I won't say anymore. Just play it. It's spooky, and the shit looks nice. Like the way they set up when you go upstairs, I just say that. When you go upstairs, damn, the textures on the wall, the sound effects. I was like, wow, this is spooky as shit. The wind coming through the windows.
Are they using the surround sound and the crazy controller shit?
I mean, I didn't notice. Yeah, I didn't notice any DualSense trickery. I mean, the audio's there, but I didn't haptic and nothing happened. I mean, there's definitely jump scares and eerie sounds all around you.
Yeah, there is some other like things behind walls. Like it's crazy. Play them.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Kristen said her name is Miranda. So there you go. Big girl.
Miranda. What is this? Mass Effect?
It's Mass Effect. Yeah, man.
Mass Effect on her chest, man.
Damn. Yeah. Jesus, man. But so yeah, that's the Resident Evil 8 stuff. Very exciting. We're gonna begin the game. They also talked, and you already talked about it, so let's get at REverse, Reverse, which is a multiplayer mode that's going to come free to anybody that buys Resident Evil 5. So, but the thing is, like, maybe I missed something, but what does this entail exactly? Like, it just looked like you're just running around shooting your friends. Like,
yeah, it looked like Team Deathmatch, or maybe it's more like a Fortnite type thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be like that. And that's a good idea to bring that back, because that's a multiplayer mode they know that they know well and that they've done well in the past. and people are tired of Umbrella Corps, they fucked up. Like, that's a trash game. Like, nobody touched that game anyway, so nobody cares. And the asymmetrical horror game is kind of played out. Like, Dead by Daylight seems to do it well. And you had Friday the 13th. I don't know how Predator did. I didn't really hear anybody talk about it. Yeah, I don't
think they did do that. Well, Dead by Daylight and Friday the 13th are like the prime examples of how to, you know, successful. Predator, yeah. Not so much.
You know? Right. But I think that's it. I think if you don't hit it right, it's just an RE Resistance. Like, nobody's fucking playing that. So
trash.
Yes. So this works well. They seem to want a multiplayer win for Resident Evil. So I think they're going to just keep trying this shit. Which is fine. It's free, right? So yeah, it's free. I can't argue with that.
One thing I found interesting was that the art style's different. It's like a cel-shaded type of style. As opposed to the realistic style. And also seems to have some kind of like a filter over it. I don't know. It was kind of like a CRT type of filter. I don't know what's going on there. Kind of interesting.
Well, I think they did that to make it smoother. You know, when you have multiplayer network connections and stuff, you want that shit as smooth as possible. So you do those kind of tricks to make it artsy. So it doesn't look cheap. But I mean, that, you know why they're doing it. They can't make it look like RE8, the main game, looks right. And have that kind of have lag free like multiplayer.
And then some of the things they didn't talk about, because some people, including myself, were like, whoa, are we going to get any news about, Resident Evil 4 Remake? That's not a rumor. Capcom announced it already. It is coming, but nothing like that. Also, did they say something about Resident Evil 7 on PS5? Did I mishear that?
Well, there was a bundle. I guess if you had an experience, RE7, you can buy, if you buy the RE8 Deluxe Edition, it comes with Resident Evil 7?
Yeah.
So you can't. Get both
backwards compatible. So, and we don't know if this game's gonna have a VR mode. You know, do we? I don't know.
I don't know. It could. It, I mean, they did in RE7, right?
Yeah.
And you won't be using your awesome,
Yeah, because that's a whole other conversation, I guess. Like, will PS5 games use PSVR or a possible PSVR 2?
Well, we're seeing that now with the Hitman 3. That there is a VR mode, but when you download that, it's the PS4 version of the game.
Exactly. So that's why I'm version. Asking that.
Yeah, it's the PS4 version that you're seeing on the PS5 to use the VR. There's no, like, patch version to work with VR for the PS5.
So
no,
that's what leads PS4 me to version. Believe Resident Evil 8 won't, you know, on PS5 won't have VR. You know, you have to play the PS4 version. If it has VR, we don't even know if it will have VR. So who knows? But yeah, other than that, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. Again, the thing was very, very short, about 15-minute showcase, which I thought was fine. You don't really need to go too crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you guys mention about the cross-generation thing? I know, it's been kind of
talked about. I just talked about it right at the jump. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it, Carlos? The fact that it's coming to last gen as well.
It's bullshit.
tell me how you really feel, bruh.
Yo, man. You know how I feel about cross-generational games, man. It's just, you know.
That's how I feel,
And we all have sort of like cyberpunk PTSD right here. It's like, they're all trying to get all of these versions ready. But, I mean, obviously, Resident Evil is kind of more doable than cyberpunk. It's an RE engine that it's been implemented several times. It's more of a, you know, more of a corridor first-person shooter than a open-world one. But, you know, it's still, man. I just want to be done with the PS4 and Xbox One versions of stuff. I understand
too soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, Carlos, that's not going to happen for a little bit, man.
At least 2 years.
Oh yeah, I mean, reality and my views of what things should be are at crossroads. So yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. I thought because they mentioned, like, he even said. At the beginning of the press conference, he's like, yeah, we talked about this, you know, this is a PS5 game. And I'm like, oh shit, I don't like where this is going.
You heard that motherfucker coming, son.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's going to announce it for the other ones too. And like, fuck, he did.
I saw when he said, I'm like, oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. Because remember, they flat out said, like, we are having a problem putting this game on last gen. They flat out said that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that was last year, and we were all like, oh, shit. So, this might be a game that's just going to be mostly, like, built on almost from the ground up on the PS5.
Yeah.
And
what if they did where they could have the game running on it, but it's through PS Now, and it's sort of like the GeForce Now, where you're playing the game, but it's running on a PS5 on their end?
Yeah, I don't think they're streaming. Doing that. I don't think they're doing that. But...
I mean, Capcom won't be the first to do that.
So my question is, because I don't even know if this matters. This might be just me splitting hairs. Was the game built on PS5 and PC and then downgraded? Or was it made for the last-gen consoles, then upgraded? And does it matter one way or another?
Always matters. Look at Cyberpunk. It matters.
Yeah. So I guess it does matter. Though. And the reason I ask is because, again, they were pretty much billing this as a next-gen game and flat out saying we're having difficulty getting this game to run on last-gen systems. You know, and they even pretty much say they canceled them at one point? Like, you know, it got there. So that's why I'm asking these questions. I'm like, so is it downgrade or an upgrade? What is this?
You know, I here's the thing. I think this is just like the Cyberpunk stuff. I think... Or a lot, you know, what Sony's doing, it's like there's not enough of the old, there's more of the old consoles out on the market than there are in the new ones. So how many people are going to be able to play this thing?
Yeah.
Even to right now, you know, you see stupid, you see the guy like cheap ass gamer and stuff like that saying, oh, you know, Walmart's got PlayStation 5s, you know?
Yeah. And they did have them for like 5 seconds. You know,
yeah, so
these fucking bots come in, you know, take them all. You know, that's Tony, what's up, Ben?
Here's a question for you.
Yes.
If you can't tell whether it's an upgrade or if it's a PS4 to the PS5 or a PS5 to the PS4, and you can't tell the difference which one it is, does it really matter?
Well, yeah, that was the last part of my question. I was like, does it matter one way or another? Because I don't know if it really matters or not. If, like, upgrade, downgrade. Like, I guess it matters if it was originally planned with the last gen consoles in mind, then it does matter because they would have had to put limitations in from the get-go from the design standpoint. But yeah, you're right. Like, if you visually can't tell, then it fundamentally doesn't matter, I guess. You know, that's what I'm asking. I'm like, does it really matter in the end? I'm not sure.
Well,
you know,
I guess the only way to see that kind of stuff is, one, is the PC version look like significantly superior to the console versions, and two, does RE8 look significantly superior to RE7?
Yeah,
you know, because that's RE7, it was from the ground up made for the last gen consoles, and if this game doesn't really look that much better, it just looks like RE7 with a fresh coat of paint in a different place. And I mean, I haven't played the demo, so I haven't had like sort of
RE7 with ray tracing. You know, that's you're right. It's like, you know, is this really next gen? You know, mm-hmm. I think it's a valid question to ask or things to talk about, because I know some people on Twitter are like trying to shame others who do say what we say, Carlos. Like, oh, you're just trying to exclude people. I'm like, I'm not trying to exclude nobody. They could jump on board when they get a PlayStation 5. You know?
Yeah.
That's just how it is. No one's excluding you. You buy the version when you get the fucking console. You know?
Yeah. Or you could just complain about how shitty your last gen version runs.
It's fine if you want to have the counter argument, but having the argument that we have shouldn't be like, you know, negated or it's invalid or anything. You know, we're looking forward to what the progression of gaming is going to be, and that's why we bought new consoles, and we want you know the ultimate experience at this time for it. We don't want, you know, we prefer it to be all confined and tested on limited amount of consoles, not, you know, four different or six different versions of it in PC. It's, you know, we've been here before several times over decades. You know, we know how this shit goes.
Yeah. And again, you know, and I'm glad you bring it up because it's not about, you know, excluding people or whatever. It's about moving the industry forward, right? Can't be moving forward if you're, like, locked to these old consoles. And remember, what's the biggest complaint about last-gen consoles? That they were underpowered. Now we're shackled to them? Come on, man. It's fucking... Again, I'm just venting right now because I know my what I want won't happen, you know, until another 2 years. But I think it's a valid argument to talk about. You know what I'm saying? It's like we for a whole generation, we bitched about these consoles a week. Now, sudden, we have to make games for these consoles. They're perfectly valid. I'm like, you just said they were invalid for a whole fucking generation. You know, so which is it? You know, I don't get it.
We're a shortage of the newer ones, so we have to make our money somewhere, and we have to go with the existing. I think that's what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Again, I understand all that. Yeah, I understand that. That's I'm not arguing against that. I understand that. Business-wise, it makes sense. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying that, you know, for people who bought this system, that there's two arguments. For people who bought the system, it's frustrating that they're not really getting next-gen systems. And then if you're looking at the industry as a whole, it's frustrating because we're not moving forward. Not really. We're taking these little timid steps. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mostly where I'm coming at it from. Like, this is disappointing, man. You know.
Well, you know, that's why, you know.
It's disappointing because it's a exact repeat of last gen. Yeah. And that shit sucked back then too. You know.
Well, you know, we had it's like now it's standard. Now it's status quo. Yeah, we won't get next gen games until 3 or 4 years into the generation. I'm like, whatever happened to day one?
Word,
you know, whatever happened to Super Mario Bros. Fuck Super Mario World.
It's Super Mario World. What happened to that? You know, what happened to Sonic Adventure? You know, what happened to fucking, you know, like all these games that just were there? Like, oh my damn, my glasses can't do this shit. This is crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We don't get that anymore. You know,
we don't get that. We have to wait 3 or 4 years into the life cycle for it to happen because, you know, people want to make as much money as possible and cater to that audience so they can get the money. And so they have to do the compromises.
Yeah.
You know, people think that, you know, these games are easily, you know, scaled up, and it's not that way. Like Cyberpunk has taught us.
Yeah. Cyberpunk is a shining example. Like, this is the shit me and Carlos have been talking about right in your face, you know? Oh man, but hey, listen, at least we got Returnal, right? That's a PS5 exclusive.
Carlos, I think you know who's to blame.
Oh, just Jim Ryan.
Jim Ryan, man, fuck him. Oh man. Anyway, the other big news that came out, I can't believe I almost forgot about it. We were talking about it before the show. Adam, Division 2, Resident Evil coming together like peanut butter and jelly. What is going on, man?
It's kind of, well, I know we don't talk rumors, but it links to that rumor. And that's the rumor is that Division 2 is trying to follow the strategic
All right, Adam, before we go down that route, there is going to be skins in Division 2, Resident Evil skins. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, outfits.
Yeah, skins, we just had to get that out there items. For people who don't know. Yeah, and then you can talk.
For those who don't know, it was announced Resident Evil content is coming into Division 2, and there's some people like, what's going on? How is this? And then there's others like, oh, we see it happening. And if you guys remember, fans of the show, or even people that just play games, they saw for a while Division 2 was on sale for like $2 on all platforms. That's pretty much giving it away for free. And they're like, what's up with that? And everyone's like, well, I think they want to go free to play. And then we've noticed that all their events have become apparel events, which is just selling gear. Hey, you don't want to do the event? Then just go buy the gear. And that's what makes all the money on Fortnite. So then when you see this kind of merger where you see Resident Evil content, another game IP coming in that's not part of the development team. It's not an Ubisoft game. So it's like, wow, that's what other game does that? Oh, Fortnite does that. And of course, this gear, there's one piece that's going to be free, and that's the Leon gear, and that's February 2nd. So all you have to do is log in. So that's the bait to get you to log in. And then if you want all the other gear, there's going to be a bunch of it. They said they're going to show it off and the skins. And that's why I'm assuming we're going to get Jill and some other characters. Once we see skins, that's all right. That's character.
Yeah, they showed the UBCS outfit for Hunk. So they showed him there. So that's coming.
You see? So that's coming. And then once people see all that, then maybe they'll keep playing. And the goal is you do some challenges, and it's going to be linked to a nightmare event, which was something that they were talking about earlier last year for Halloween. It's takes place I think it was College Point is one of the islands. It's a big university, and they had a DLC mission for last year in it, but now it looks like they're going to make this a horror theme, and it's called Nightmare, and that's where this event's going to take place. You complete these challenges, you unlock the apparel. Usually you can just go and buy it if you don't feel like doing the challenges, because it's timed. Usually these things are timed, and that's it. It's one and done, and then you move on. So we'll see. But once this got announced, that was the first thing that a lot of people were saying. I was like, well, this is it. This is what we're going to see. And then after this, they're probably going to make it free to play, because that's the next step. And if they do that, then they can start incorporating other things and other characters from other games. And it could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I mean, I don't know how many people are linking to the two worlds of... If let's say if you're a Division player, are you also a Resident Evil player? We got Tony and Chris, they are, you know, but I saw a lot of other main YouTubers that I know that cover a lot of Division content, and this is not what they wanted. They're like, they're thinking of other things, other characters from other games, but they weren't thinking Resident Evil. They're okay with it, they get it, but it came out of left field. Because if anything, you would think they would do other Ubisoft IPs. You know, maybe do something with Assassin's Creed or something. Have some crazy looking outfits from Valhalla or something. But no, they don't do that. So, hey, whatever. It is what it is. It's cool. You know, jump in there, get it free. At least the Leon one. Get that one free. And just keep playing. Now, they haven't mentioned if they're going to do a free weekend or anything for it. Or during that time period, or at least at the beginning. And they're known for doing free weekends and free weeks and stuff like that. So I could see them if they're really trying to, like, lure people in. Because even if those people that are just diehard Resident Evil fans are like, I don't play that Division shit. I'm not into that stuff. If they said, hey, free for the weekend, maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll download this 110 gig game on their system, because this shit is large. It's large. It's very large.
You, Adam.
Yep.
I have a question for you. Is the Division 2 as much of a success as Division 1?
Yes. Yes. Because of all the improvements that they made in with the Warlords in New York and a lot of other content that they released, it definitely has. But it's something that they're trying to prolong in the sense of not having to release another Division 3. They keep building on it, building. Everyone's trying to, and it's the way I always see in my head, I see everyone's trying to chase. When they build these type of games, they're trying to chase Rockstar's GTA model. You know, how do we create one big open world and just keep building on top of it, throwing little pieces and get people to jump on? It's already online, so we're already doing that. And it's GTA is crazy. I mean, you could have cars and races and tracks and stuff in space. You could do a lot of other things, and I think that's the appeal. But you see all these other companies that have this. You see this with Destiny and some other ones that are trying their best to just keep building on something, so that way they don't have to come up with a newer version every year. Just build on it. And for the most part, Division 2 has been up there. They just gave us the summit a few months ago. That was that big tower. You know, I did a story on that, and that was awesome. 100 levels you got to play through. It's better with friends. That's plain and simple, though. If you're going to play any of these things, play with friends. 10 times better than playing solo, playing with some randos that don't want to talk. So, but between that and then with all these global events and all these apparel events, and I have my own apparel that I picked my guy up, and then Tony and I, we went in, we collected a bunch of masks, and I was cool with that. I'm not big on, oh, damn, I need the next outfit. But when I found out about this RE one, I looked up, they've been doing this for a while, not with the other games, but just creating all these crazy apparel outfits events, and it's been booming. People are always hyped for it. And so they keep changing the next event. So, oh, this will be another apparel event. Oh, you want this type of event? All right, we're going to do this. And it's been catching on. So that tells me that people either playing it or they're straight up buying it. And I'm assuming it's the latter, because then, look, I'm sure a large majority of people are going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to bother hunting down for all those crazy challenges for the RE stuff. I'll just pay outright whatever amount. I think it's like $5-$10 or something like that. That's usually how they charge these things. And then you get all the apparel and then you run around with the... before your Resident Evil stuff. So it must be working. You know, the same thing goes with Call of Duty. Call of Duty does the same thing with the battle passes, but they do a lot of skins for weapons and things, and that's working for them too. Making a killing. We hear about it all the time when they do their numbers. So We'll see. We'll see if this actually makes an impact. I'm curious if there's anybody in the chat that is not interested in the Division that's willing to jump in just for the Resident Evil stuff, if this is enough to pull them in to a genre that they're not familiar with or they really don't give a shit. For Manny, he doesn't give a shit. He loves Resident Evil, but he still doesn't give a shit about this, so he's not going to play with us.
I don't love Resident Evil that much. I haven't played one since, what was it, Resident Evil 5?
Let's say that Leon stuff is free, and let's say they do a free weekend to go alongside it. Would you then jump in? No, nah. Right? That's still not it. There you go. Free is still not good enough for Manny.
No, because I have no interest in the game. It's like, yeah, okay. That's, I mean, can you change the game too? I'll take that. I'll take some other game.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if this is enough to lure people that are into one type of game to jump into this type of game, this genre. It really doesn't link, besides the fact that you wear armor, you know, you wear gear, tactical gear. That's some real connection there. Yeah, I mean, it's
for people who are into both, you know. I don't think it's going to lure people in from another.
Like, yeah, yeah. Me,
I like Resident Evil. I like Division. I'm already there, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with Chris. But, oh, by the way, real quick, who said this? Somebody in the chat said, by the way, I can't read your names when they're in blue for some reason. See, Iris, oh, shit, that's my nephew. He goes, if you guys ever need an extra for Division 2, I'm down. Hell yeah, man, let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
We always need some. We always need
some. Yeah, for sure.
It's funny, though. Like, it's like whenever these sort of combinations or these collaborations go on, it's like it's the Venn diagram. There is a space where there are a ton of Division people. And then there's this, another huge space where a lot of Resident Evil people, and the only ones that are going to be interested are the ones in the middle, which is less, you know, like they have to be both Resident Evil and Division people. I don't think anybody that plays Resident Evil has no interest in the Division is going to be like, oh, that sounds awesome. I want to play that game. Cause there's no story. Resident Evil is all about the atmosphere, the story, you know, that Division doesn't really have that. It's more about the experience, the companionship with your friends, the multiplayer, the shooting mechanics, yeah, and all different. That.
There is a new audience that opens up, though. A lot of people that I know that don't play games like Resident Evil don't play it because it's stressful or intense or something like that. But that's diminished when you add multiplayer to it. So you might have people finally grow the balls to run in if they can bring their friend.
No, what I'm wondering is if you see the trailer, you see the characters come down with the Resident Evil stuff. I wonder if they're going to create at least a little cinematic cutscene or something and try to explain what's happening, you know, with the helicopter showing up from Raccoon City and all that. So I wonder if they're going to try to link it up, or is it just, hey, there's an event going on, nightmare, it's horror, and you get this outfit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are they going to try to come up with some way to tie this in to make sense in some weird way?
You know, Brett, you just made me think about some. Okay, with regards to Resident Evil multiplayer specifically, because we've had a lot of attempts at Resident Evil multiplayer. They don't really work out. Is it that the multiplayer modes have been bad, or that the Resident Evil fan base doesn't care about multiplayer? Which is it? A competitive multiplayer, specifically, because they do like co-op multiplayer, Resident Evil 5 and even 6, you know. So which is it? Do the Resident Evil fans not care about multiplayer, or have the multiplayer modes in Resident Evil games just been bad?
They've been bad.
Chris?
I think it's a bit of both. They have been bad, but I think most of the RE people, like you said, they don't care about competitive multiplayer. Team Deathmatch and Asymmetric Horrors, they don't care about that. Umbrella Corps, they absolutely shun that game.
Yeah.
Like, It was like, it might as well not have happened. It was just so embarrassing. And even the one made by Slant 6 at
Outbreak, or was that it?
No, the Operation Raccoon City.
Okay, I get those two mixed up. You know,
also trash, but you know, it's like, to your point, it was a trash game.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. So it'll be interesting. Like, yeah, I don't know if they'll jump ship.
The last part, and I guess because it all links up, they didn't really mention too much, but because I don't know if they said the exact date, but if when we talk about it, the February 2nd, and I think it's till the 21st, so it's pretty much the month of February. But also during that time, we had the PS5 upgrade patch for the Division 2
coming. That's right, 60 frames, 4K.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's all connected in a weird way. If they're gonna, if it's the second that that launches, or if it's not, then maybe it's later on. But maybe that's how they're also gonna try to sell it. Like, hey, look at what we've just done. If you do have a PS5, this is, look how crazy it looks now. 60 FPS, 4K. You know, this is another way to get more eyes on the product.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to bring back guys like me, because I'm pretty much done with the Division. But as soon as they announced it, I'm like, yo, Adam, let's go. I was like, it's like, Adam, let's fucking go.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. You know, especially, like I said, get a group of people. Get people. That way you could run around and play. If you're by yourself, that's not so much. I don't know. Some people are into that solo, you know, lone wolf.
Division's not that type of game, man.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not.
Another one like that for me is also Monster Hunter World. Like, I need to roll with the crew, you know, or some random Japanese guys.
Japanese guys.
Yeah, I don't play solo with that shit. I think that's all the Resident Evil stuff, right? I think we pretty much covered it all.
I have a question.
Uh-oh.
Why is it? So who's getting it from in here?
Come on, bro.
I mean, I know the obvious, but is everyone getting it, or?
Nah, I'm not getting it.
I'm not getting it.
Manny's not. He ain't got no PS5s. Brian, well, you don't care either, right?
No, if it does come out, then I'll get it on PC.
There you go. Well, it is coming out. Do you think it's going to get delayed?
It comes out on PC, then I'll get it on PC.
Yeah, it's coming out PC, yeah. Day one or Brian Day?
Brian Day.
Okay.
So. Sometime in the future. Maybe 2023.
All right. So, Carlos, the usual suspects then, you know?
Okay. Just, you know, I like to do these types of surveys.
Yeah.
Are you getting it, Carlos?
Do I get anything for taking the survey?
Yo, man, I give you a cookie. Yeah. To be honest, though, you know, Capcom's going to hook me up, though, so I'm not worried about that. You know? Oh, man, if they put me in a VR thing, that'd be scary as fuck.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get Chris to be on the party chat with me and guide me everywhere. That's just going to be too scary, man.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, by the way, Adam, since you brought up, I'm going to sneak the story in there, man. Even though none of us really give a fuck about this, got to talk about it, because I just want to, I'm going to use this as an excuse to rant about a little thing. So Fortnite, as your PlayStation 5 loves to tell you, is getting Sarah Connor, T-800, and the Predator, right? So I saw, you know, people on Twitter complaining, like, oh, you know, they're ruining the franchise. And I'm like, bro, the Terminator and Predator franchise have been ruined since the second installment to each of them. This is not ruining the franchises. Fuck out of here with that. They've been ruined for 2 decades, you know? Shit, they're Chris, no, three decades. What am I talking about?
I was playing Gears 5 multiplayer recently, and it had the Terminators in it. I'm like, oh, I forgot they did this.
Yo, remember, Adam, we were trying to kill the Predator in Wildlands.
Yeah, see, that's right. In Wildlands, same thing. You got Predator in there.
Cameos are better than the fucking movies, you know? The recent ones. That last Terminator movie was insulting. You know?
That last Predator movie was trash.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the only reason I wanted to talk about that story. It's like, guys, they're not really franchises. Franchises have been ruined after the second installment to each of them. Terrible.
Well, you know, it took the third one for Terminator.
No, I said after the second one.
Yeah.
Terminator 3 was trash, you know? And hell, some people even say Predator 2 was trash. I don't say that, but definitely wasn't as good as the first one.
I mean, people are allowed to be wrong.
Yeah.
Predator 2 was a good one. I don't know.
I like Predator 2. Fucking voodoo magic, man.
Fucking
voodoo magic. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. The other story we're going to talk about. Hitman 3 causing controversy, man.
What is that versy?
Where's that versy? Okay, what's so...
Dear God, the things people fight about are...
Yeah. All right, Brett, I'll go to you as soon as I do the setup. So, Digital Foundry, they did their analysis of Hitman 3 that's out on all the consoles, but they specifically focused on the Xbox Series X and the PS5, right? And you saw some differences, right? Xbox, 4K, 60 frames a second. There's like one instance where Xbox drops to 40 frames a second, like in a wheat field or something, flower field. But other than that, 4K, 60. Then on a PS5 version, it's like 1800p or whatever, but 60 frames all the time, right? But this was enough. This was enough for the fanboys to go fucking nuts. So, Brett, fill us in. Go ahead, Brett.
I do. Yeah, like I've never seen people like. Did they pull out a microscope to split these fucking hairs? Because it is just stupid.
Oh, Brett, before you go on, not to cut you off. I know you said you've never seen this before, but remember, you know how you said you're kind of newish to Twitter. This happens all the time.
Oh my god, it's
all the time. So Brett, everything you're experiencing now, we experienced it 100 times. So this is kind of good to hear your first perspective as a layman to this shit, because this is not new. This happens literally all the fucking time. Anyway, go on, Brett.
I knew there was a fanboy war, like I did, but like the way that people engage in it. So real talk, and this is, you know, there's no way that some people aren't going to think that I'm biased. Real talk. This is one of those ones that Xbox eked ahead by a fucking nose hair. Whoop-de-fucking-do. It's a little higher resolution, and the shadows are turned on high instead of medium. Ooh. You know, practically, they look pretty much the same. And it's just erupted, like, the Xbox have just finally gotten something that they can say, they can point to, like, look, we finally did something better! Even though it's, like I said, just a fucking nose hair better. And the PlayStation people are just doing backflips to try and, to, you know, well, at least it runs at a solid 60 frames per second. There's one place in a fucking wheat field. Are you really going to be that pedantic about it? The answer is yes. Yes, they are.
Hilarious thing is that it's just a kind of beefed up version of the last gen version of the game.
Yeah.
That's all that
game is. So but it's you know, I know people are
mode,
and I know people are starved for games. But like, man, people are really starved for an opportunity for their side to win. And we're so new in the generation, and we're recycling things so much. You can't tell if your team is winning. It's we've barely fucking started. Wait 2 years in for that first wave of games to start hitting, and then we'll be able to tell which is getting better. I mean, you're talking about a studio that's been established, and you're asking if they can, a platform that's been established as the fan favorite, and can they keep it up? Fuck yeah, they can. They've got exclusives, but like we have no idea what Microsoft is going to bring to the table. They bought a bunch of studios. They're not going to sit on them. Like we'll get this opportunity, and we'll get the opportunity for people to fine tune the machines and actually use them to their full potential. Right now, it's like guessing which toddler is going to be the better heavyweight boxer. Yeah, there may be slight indications, but goddamn, you guys are flaring up over nothing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude. Like, we see this all the damn time. And my thing is, like, these dudes seem to spend more time on Twitter bitching about games than playing games, which is crazy, you know?
Yeah, the funny thing is the only people that it actually matters to are people that own both systems, and they don't care about the console wars.
Yeah. Well, here's the ironic thing. I'm glad you bring it up. Okay, so people who own both consoles don't care, right? And if you own...
Well, no, we care. Like, I might Google which... You know, I'm going to Google where does it run better, and I'm going to get that one because it doesn't fucking matter to me.
Yeah, okay, but you said it right there. Doesn't matter which one you play on. Okay, so if you have both consoles, doesn't matter which one you play on. And then if you only own one console, why do you care what the other version does if you don't own it? So either way you slice it, it's stupid. It's a dumb argument to be had.
It's just about one-upping each other. And I get it. I of all people, am a competitive person. I like fighting against other people. But one, you have absolutely no say in this, right? It's like getting way too overhyped for rooting for your local sports team. You're not helping. You're not doing anything. Unless you're beta testing games, unless you are on Steam fucking doing early access shit and giving active feedback, you are doing nothing to help the game. Stop acting like you won. Cease your touchdown dance. It's unwarranted. And the other thing is, cool, be competitive over the big stuff. Like when Microsoft fucking face planted on the TV, I will always laugh about that. They built a console with this fucking Kinect in mind, and then didn't use the Kinect. It was so tragically bad. Of course you're gonna point to those kind of things. But really, like shadows on high and a little higher frame rate or a little higher resolution, like cool, that's great. I just look at it as like, hey, Xbox is trying to stretch its legs a little bit. It's finally showing some of the power that we were promised. Cool. Because at the end of the day, we all know that PlayStation is about exclusives anyway, so why are you fucking bickering about this?
Yeah, it's stupid. But you be prepared. Now you're on Twitter, be prepared. Just it happens all the time. All don't the tell time.
People on Twitter, they're gonna start yelling at me now.
Yeah, no, you don't have to talk, just look in the shadows. You know?
Look in the shadows. I'll still get yelled at. It's Twitter.
This is true. You can just be quiet and they know you're at, man. All right. Where you're at, you know. At. It's our worst. Anyway, any other thoughts on this? I thought it was interesting. You know, it's like, but you're right. It's like, we're what, 2.5 months into the console generation, and we're doing this.
It just shows how the thing I take away from it is this. It shows how starved people are for new content on their systems. But it also shows how starved they are for exclusive content on their systems, things that push the hardware. I don't think that both companies' decisions to be, you know, multi-generational is really, you know, vibing real well, especially with the hardcore gaming audience.
It's not.
Because they're not getting there, like, you know, it's a recycled game. I can't put this in a feather in my cap and yell Team Sony. Like, this is barely a win. Give me a real fucking win. Yeah. And I think casual gamers are just like, well, okay, so there's no reason to buy this thing. I just got an Xbox like 4 years ago. You know, cool. I'll just play on that. So I don't see from a business perspective where this is good. And I don't see from a community perspective where this is good. I think they really need to just abandon that and start releasing generational exclusives.
Yeah. You know, and you're right. That's the thing. All these arguments are coming from, we're comparing games that are last gen games on new systems. So we're not even seeing comparisons of games that are fully running the systems the way they're supposed to be, right? So it's even more of a stupid conversation, right? It's like, so we're judging the power of these new systems based on how well they could run old gen games. That's dumb. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Can you imagine if they release Spider-Man as a PS5 exclusive? Do you know how much that would have tipped the fucking scales if you had a game of that level ready for launch, exclusive on your new system?
Yeah. Here's the I'm glad you brought this up. This is something very interesting, right? Most people, Brett, bought Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS5 because they thought it was an exclusive. Even one of my friends, he's not in the industry anymore, but he should know better. He, you know, me and this other guy were talking about the Spider-Man DLCs and stuff. He's like, hey, can I play those on PS4? Like, yeah. Can I also play Miles Morales on PS4? Like, yeah, you can. You didn't know this? So there's a lot of people out there that think Miles Morales is a exclusive. You know, so keep that in mind.
They did that on purpose with the marketing. Yeah.
No, so my point is, so to the general audience, they thought PS5 came with an exclusive Spider-Man game. So that did help in that sense, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
But it's weird, though. I'm like, how the hell? There was like, what, 3 million PlayStation 5s, right? 100-whatever million PlayStation 4s, and Spider-Man sold better on the PS5? The one with a lesser install base? I know this is off topic, but I just find that very odd, you know?
Well, it also shows the limited selection you had for your shiny new PS5.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like people go, hey, you could buy it on PS4 too, you know?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Kind of interesting. But yeah, again, it's just silly to, you know, pretty much use ammo for your console war, which is ridiculous already, based off old games. Hitman 3, yes, it's a new game. Yes, I understand that. It's a new release, but it's meant to run on an old system. It's not a next-gen game, you know? So how about we compare, like, Battlefield 6 or something, you know? That is going to be next-gen. How about something like that? Or fucking Call of Duty Black Ops 5 or whatever, you know? Like, let's do those type of games, not, you know, whatever the fuck's going to be coming out of the next. Resident Evil, you know, Brett, get ready. That's going to be happening. Digital Foundry are going to release their video for Resident Evil 8. Motherfuckers are going to go crazy. And again, it'll be the same situation, right? It's an old-gen game running on a new system.
Yeah, the next Resident Evil, that's what I want to see. Like,
yeah.
Who's Capcom going to, like, throw their weight in behind?
Well, okay, here's... I'm glad you
brought it up. What system are they going to natively develop for? That's the big
question. It's not even a thing anymore, isn't it? That they just develop all games on PC and they just bring them to console?
Apparently it is, judging by the fact that they're having to take different strategies to eke out power for the Xbox than they are the PlayStation. The difference is how they handle the flow of information, and the stronger SSD in the PlayStation can use certain shortcuts if it's used cleverly.
Yeah, do we know that for a fact, though, Brett? Like, because I haven't heard that whole natively developing for it in like 5 years. I don't even
think we don't know anything about natively developed for it. That hasn't been announced yet. What we do know is that they require different approaches to optimize.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Because even though both systems are the same, they're also different. You know. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen, this is what I find interesting, right? Time and time again, we've seen that the Xbox Series X, is more capable of giving you 4K more consistently, and PlayStation 5 is more capable of giving you 60 frames consistently. So they're each specializing in different ways. It's not as extreme as this, but it's kind of slightly reminding me of like the old Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis days. Like the systems did their own things, different than the other. Some things were better, some things were worse. So it's kind of like that again, which is kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But again, I want to see comparisons of next gen, cross platform games. That's what I want to fucking see, you know. By the way, somebody who said that in the chat, they said that Battlefield 6 logic wins. What's going on, brother? He says Battlefield 6 is rumored to be cross gen. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I would not be surprised at all.
Stop.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're gonna have to just deal with it, just like last one, until next year. You know, late next year probably, or hopefully early next year. But next year, we're going to have to wait.
Yeah, at least last gen, they had the decency to act a little bit ashamed about it and try and do it quietly. Now they're fucking beating the band about it.
You know, because again, Bloodborne, right? One of the first big, exclusive games didn't come out until 2015, 2 years after the fact. And yes, I realize Second Son came out February, but, you know, few and far between. All right. Let's move on here. All right. Carlos, thank you for reminding me about this one. So, because we did talk about some more of the cyberpunk craziness. Jason Schreier put out a piece on them. We talked about that last episode. But CD Projekt Red actually responded to this.
Oh, they actually said something back?
Yeah, they responded to Jason Schreier's claims. So I'm going to go through them. This is from Adam Badowski. He is the head of Studio CD Projekt Red. So here we go. So he goes, I've read your piece. Here are my thoughts. So Jason Schreier said fans and journalists were wowed by Cyberpunk 2077's ambition scale. What they didn't know was the demo was almost entirely fake. So that's what Jason Schreier said. The demo was fake. So this is what Badowski has to say. All right, so it's a little bit long, so just bear with me here. It's hard for a trade show game demo not to be a test of vision or vertical slice 2 years before the game ships, but that doesn't mean it's fake. Compare the demo with the game. Look at the dum-dum scene or the car chase or the many other things. What the people reading your article may not know is that games are not made in a linear fashion and start looking like the final product only a few months before launch. If you look at the demo now, it's different, but that's what the work in progress watermark is for. Our final game looks and plays way better than what the demo ever was. As for missing features, that's part of the creation process. Features come and go as we see if they work or not. Also, car ambushes exist in the final game almost verbatim to what we showed in the demo. And if we get a bit more granular about our release, the vision we presented in this demo evolved into something that got multiple 9s out of 10s and 10 out of 10s on PC for many renowned gaming sites in the world. As for the old gen consoles, yes, that is another case, but we've owned up to that and are working super hard to eliminate bugs on PC too. We know that's not a perfect vision either. And we are proud of Cyberpunk 2077 as a game and artistic vision. That's not what I would call disastrous. So let's talk about that response for a second there. So he's basically saying that, you know, the demos that they release and stuff, he doesn't believe they're fake because they were just a vertical slice and they did more or less deliver on that. Do you guys think they delivered on that?
He's talking in particular to the 2 hour demo that was shown behind closed doors. I saw a video from Angry Joe, who was one of the people that saw it, and he called bullshit on that because he said whatever they showed on the demo looked way better than whatever the final product was. So, you know, this guy Adam Badowski is saying no, this is the demo, the final product is better than the demo. You know, it looks and plays better, but you know, a lot of us didn't even get to see it. So from at least from one person that I know that saw it, you know, he's saying that it's not true. So it's interesting.
Brett?
I think they did put
nine kinds of bullshit. Yeah,
hold on, Manny. Let Brett go first. Go ahead, Brett.
I call nine kinds of bullshit. First of all, and I think Brian will back me up on this, being a PC player, I've played alphas. I've played betas. Dropping major game features is not a normal standard part of the process. That's what happens when you're dropping sandbags from your balloon because the game is fucking crashing around you. It's not a good sign, and the community is not happy when they start taking away promised game features. And they honestly, they'll reach out and try and get refunds or go on, you know, huge thread rants. It's not a normal okay thing. And to light it as such is kind of weirdly gaslighting people.
Okay, so Brett. Yep. I have to jump in. Can you talk about what were the features that they shown in whatever thing that people are talking about that was not there? For the sake of clarification. Because I'm just out here like
the branching storyline that changes based around the decisions that you make. You know, the whole thing that's like the Mass Effect side of it.
Well, okay. I mean to bring up wait.
And then, like, again, in the statement, the guy says that things are dropped because they feel like they do not work together. So, to me, I'm just actually like, that sounds like standard development. Like, if you're developing any type of software, that happens. The stuff that you want to put in there, you try to put in there, you see how it works. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Hence, it goes. Again, yeah. Carlos can attest to that. Chris can attest to that. This is just software as a general idea. So I'm sat here like, yeah, that sounds like they were developing software and some things didn't make the cut.
That my name is invoked, so I have the right to rebuttal. when you work, you know, a lot of us are developers and we develop code, you know, for a customer. The customer, you know, gives us the requirements. We handle the requirements and we produce a product. At the moment where one of those requirements that is part of the design does not come on the final product, then the customer is going to say, "Hey, you know, we had this requirement in the design, and it didn't come. You know, you didn't deliver on it. So, you know, it's not what we wanted." In terms hold on. I know what you're going to say, so hold on.
Your analogy is flawed, though, because we are not the customer.
What do you think I was going to say, Brian? What do you think I was going to say?
Okay, I'll let you finish.
Yeah. So the dicey situation here is that the customer is sort of, you know, the quote-unquote, the customer, the people buying the game are the people who are sort of driving this, but also the developers, because they're the ones that are setting these requirements, not the customer. That's why they're, you know, people get excited because CD Projekt Red is saying, you know, this game is going to have car ambushes, random car ambushes throughout the game. It's going to have people that are going to have life cycles, you know, that are going to do different things throughout the day, that, you know, a lot of other things. So the customers and now the people who are buying the game are the ones that are going to say, oh, so that's what this game is about. You know, Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red are the ones that set the requirements. We just say, oh, that looks great, or that looks bad. So it's a dicey situation here. You know, it's not a one-to-one analogy. I just wanted to say, you know, like, that's how development works for us, as opposed to what CD Projekt Red is doing. So if CD Projekt Red says, okay, we're going to have this feature, and it doesn't come out at the end, then it's important to state that, did they say in between then and now that this feature was removed? You know, was this feature something that we advertised a lot, or did we advertise it once, or did we say this was a possibility of popping up? I think that context is important.
Brett.
You know, because if you're like what's his name, the fucking Sean Murray promising the world, then you have a right to be pissed because that dude promised a shit ton of things that didn't show up in the game original.
And that's kind of where I land on it at the end of the day. Like,
moreover than any, like, not digging into the nuance, my wide angle approach to this is just, no, this is unacceptable. Because if this becomes the acceptable standard thing, then there's nothing to stop people, big companies, from just promising the moon and then not delivering it, and the you know, the entire consumer base just kind of shrugging and being like, that's how it is. Like, we cannot just accept the state of the game and the removed features. Like, yeah, maybe if they had been more clear on it, but like they said a lot of stuff, and I still maintain in any of the early access games that I've been in, removing major features is not smiled upon. It's generally very, very, very much frowned upon by the people who have bought the game. So all in all, you know, I think I need to view it as unacceptable, because I'm not ready to not be able to trust any game trailer or announcement that I've seen. And unless we're ready to enter that world, then I don't think that you can be okay with this. Unless you just, I mean, where does it stop? So I guess that's my final.
Yeah, real quick, because I need to ask some follow-up questions. Because you said, so just to be clear, we shouldn't accept when a developer tells us the game's going to have something and then removes it? Just so I'm understanding this.
Yeah, we shouldn't applaud it. We shouldn't shrug it off. We should get a little pissy about it. It doesn't mean we need to burn the world down or anything like that. But yeah, you recognize, if you promise something and don't deliver it, in my opinion, that is failing at the thing that you attempted to do. And that may be a hard word for it, but maybe not deliver.
Here's a question for you, Brett. Yes. What if the feature is just not going to work in the context of the game? It is a feature that they promised that they want to add in there, but then they put it in there and through testing, they found out that, yeah, this thing does not work in this context of the game.
Then they publicly announce that they're changing the direction of the game due to technical limitations.
No, it's not through technical limitations. It's just that the feature doesn't work, as in it doesn't, there's no cohesion, let's say.
Okay, so like, why would there be no cohesion with like car assaults?
No, I'm just saying as a hypothetical, because you just said that if they promise to put something in there and it's not there, then you consider that to be a failure.
Yeah,
but I'm bringing up a case where they may want to remove it because it doesn't. It's not cohesive with everything else.
In those situations, it might be forgivable. But you're not telling me that they removed a branching storyline because it's not cohesive to the open world that they created. You're not going to tell me they didn't remove random encounters and car assaults because it was incohesive to the regular game. These are all cohesive ideas.
How do you know that? Is that based on?
We played them in other games.
Is that based on, again? Is that based on what you think?
I'm asking.
Like, this is just purely based on what you believe, based on what you played and what they've said. Did you actually test that feature in that game?
No, because they removed it. That chance.
So then how can you say that it's not, that it will be cohesive? Again, it's a hypothetical.
Okay, because I've played that exact situation in other games. We've played Red Dead. We're moving around in a large open world. Quick time events happen. It's not fucking rocket science. I can imagine and play a thing in a game that when somebody else fucking promises it, that they're going to deliver. CD Projekt Red was not being revolutionary in any of this fucking thing. It was stapling together the best aspects of other games. If it's going to promise them that it should try and do them as well as the people that have already done it. And yes, because I've already played it and somebody else has already done it, I know it can be fucking done. I've played Mass Effect. So have you. You can have a branching storyline. You can have quick time events in an open world. In what fucking world is that not cohesive or possible in a game like Cyberpunk? Because I feel like we're drifting away from the thing. We're now talking hypotheticals. This isn't about hypotheticals. This is about Cyberpunk.
Well, it is based on the hypothetical that you believe that these things would have been cohesive. Again, I have no idea if they would or would not.
Do you think that they wouldn't?
I want to hear the
opinions. Who here thinks that QuickTime events wouldn't have or random events would not have worked in Cyberpunk? who here would have disliked a branching storyline that changed based on your decisions?
Those are two different questions, by the way.
I know. That's part A and B.
Yeah.
To answer your question real quick, branching storyline would not been great because branching storyline in games are never really that great. They're just kind of, hey, this dialogue is slightly different, and that's it. You don't really get true branching narratives in games. You just get kind of like side bumps in games, and that's it. Like, again, look at Mass Effect.
So like, you dislike the multiple endings?
Do you actually get multiple endings, or is it just the same flavor of ending? Or like, sorry, a slight different flavor of ending. Like, if I want to play Mass Effect and I don't
Ryan,
give it down...
Color, by the way, just...
Well, slight it's the same color. Idea. Like, no. It is the idea, like, if I wanted to, can I side with the Reapers and say, let's destroy everything? Like, literally, let's destroy everything. Or can I turn around and say, fuck the Reapers, they will die?
I can't tell you for sure, I couldn't finish the game. But from what I've heard, there are, I think, three distinct different endings.
Tony will tell you that.
By the way, there's no game gives you ultimate branching storylines because and Brian, you know, this is the one I always bring up, and I think I've brought this up in an old throwdown. I can't just go fuck the Reapers, I'm gonna go to the pleasure planet and just fuck blue aliens all day. Yeah. I can't do that. I can't go to whatever version of Ryza this game has, you know. So no game gives you actual branching storylines. But I want to answer Brett's question real quick because the first one's kind of interesting. Brett, just reiterate your first question again, like about the open world. Like, what was your question? Because I have a
who here thinks that it wouldn't work. It would be incohesive to have a branching storyline that changes based on your decisions in Cyberpunk. Yeah.
Here's my response to that. I don't think it would have not worked for the game world. I question whether CD Projekt Red has the technical know-how to do that. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to piss some people off. I'm going to piss some people off with what I'm going to say right now. What this has proven to me, this whole Cyberpunk situation, is that these guys bit off way more than they get you. And fuck it, I'm just going to say it. They got lucky with The Witcher 3. They got fucking lucky. They thought they could pull it off, and they failed. And I'm saying this as a guy who liked fucking Cyberpunk. These guys got too hyped up as the developers, greatest developers of all time, when they've showed they just got lucky once. You know, you can't be given, you know, a studio high praise unless they do three fucking back-to-back amazing games in a row. You know, so to answer your question, Brett, I don't think they could have done it. I don't think they had the technical know-how to do it. You know,
that's my answer. Let me point you to Witcher
3. And by Brian, just okay, just because Bioware could do it doesn't mean CD Projekt Red could do it. So that's
what I'm saying. I'm going to point you to Witcher 3. Like, Witcher 3 literally has that towards the end. Like, depending on your choices, I don't know which ones, but you get different, a slightly changing narrative based on your choices.
Was it incohesive?
The best example. Let me answer Tony's question, and then I'll get back to you, Brett.
And then I got
the best example is the Red Baron questline. Find anyone that has played Witcher 3, and then to ask them what happened in their Red Baron, in their version of the Red Baron questline, and you'll get slightly different answers because it's there.
All right, so Brian, so you're telling me CD Projekt Red is capable of doing this, then, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's even worse, then. That's even worse. That means they have been able to do it, and they didn't this time. And we all know why they weren't able to do it. Okay,
what if they didn't want to?
Yeah.
Like, what if they said, hey.
Brian, I'm with you on this. I think developers should be free to drop whatever features they feel are necessary to drop. And, you know, based off the developers I've talked to, listen, games do not begin the way they end throughout development. So you can't say like, oh, them dropping features new. Every game has features dropped. Every game in existence has features dropped.
Stop advertising those features and don't drop the features that you advertise.
But at the same time, if you need to drop a feature that you publicly advertise, you need to be able to do that because you have to make the game cohesive. That's the word of the night. That's fucking the Pee Wee's Playhouse word of the night, I guess, right? So, Brian, I have to take back what I said about them not having the technical know-how, but then that's worse because if they do have the technical know-how, what the fuck happened? I'm going to answer the question, by the way, what happened? They rushed the fucking game out to please their fucking shareholders who are now trying to sue them. You know?
Yeah. So, well, they pleased nobody. Yeah, they pleased nobody.
Yeah. Like I said, this is exactly the whole situation with the Game of Thrones developers, the writers with Star Wars. They rushed Game of Thrones out so they could rush do the Star Wars movie, but then Game of Thrones did so badly, they got kicked off the Star Wars project. So nobody fucking won. You know, this is the same situation. So that's even bad. So Pride Red does have the technical know-how. They just rushed the fucking game, you know. But just to go back, Brett, I feel developers should have that freedom because they do it all the time. You just don't hear about it. This was just more public. They drop features all the fucking time.
No, I want to make it clear. You can drop features. Just don't publicize the features that may get dropped. Like, don't announce and promise things that you don't know that you can deliver on.
Okay, that's fair. But I was just saying, they should also be able to drop a feature they already announced.
Should. A feature. Like, but when we get to like five or six different things, when you get to a 15-minute sizzle reel of damning montage or of damning evidence.
Yeah, that video was brutal.
It's more than a feature.
Yeah.
And yeah, you should be able to drop one. But when you drop like, I don't know, when you change half of what the game seems to be about and what you promised, then you deserve, like, nobody's going to come in and stop you, but you deserve the ire of your customers.
Oh, I agree.
You promise them something, and because here I am. I'm very black and white about it, mostly because I myself am a small business and a tattoo artist. So if I promise somebody something and they don't walk out with that, no matter the reason, I have failed at my job. My job is to satisfy the customer, not bait and switch them, not con them, not sneak it in, not get it in their hand and then finish it later. They're supposed to walk out that door happy and satisfied with what they did. And by that measure, CD Projekt Red did not succeed. I'm not going to say that they did what they said because they didn't. Even if the game that they came out with is good, you'd still have to recognize, yeah, they cut like half the features on this thing. It became a very straightforward narrative game, and that was not what was advertised.
Yo, you know what would be fucked up? Man, if the game they promised comes out 2 years later with all these patches, that'll be really fucked up. Like, yo,
I'm sure it will. Yeah,
no, but that's fucked up. I'm like, that means you should have just taken your time with it then, you know?
And that's where I say the reason I can't find this acceptable. Yeah. Like, I don't... And it's not just for this game, it's for any game, man. Like, I don't want to have to hear about a game, get excited, and then 5 to 8 years later have them bring me something that's not really what they said was going to be, and they never actually made it clear that they had changed that. You know, the video, nothing, everything still exists on the internet. If you have an official trailer up from, like, 4 years ago when your game was a different thing, people will still see that when they research you. You need to take that shit down and make it very public that you've decided to try and go a different direction of the game. You decided that you wanted to do a more close-up, narrative, emotionally driven experience for a more cinematic type of game so that you feel things have more impact. Fine. Cool. Let us fucking know that.
I think the issue here is, like, I agree. I mean, you can cut off as many features as you want. I think it's important to, you know, tell that to your customers or to your potential customers that, you know, these things are not going to be as you are expecting them. Either that or, you know, be more transparent when it comes to the reviews. You know, a lot of the reviews were limited. They were all limited to PC. You know, a lot of the showings were used through backdoor showings and stuff like that. So I think a lot of that is important, and I think it leads to a lot of the infuriating nature of the fans that, you know, are showing a lot of, you know, vitriol to CD Projekt Red right now. It's, you know, the whole, you know, the car ambush thing, if I remember correctly, and I don't remember this, you know, verbatim, but from what I remember,
what is that? You guys keep talking about it. What
car ambushes? Like, you were supposed to be driving around, you know, somewhere X or in the open world, and you would get ambushed by, you know, whoever X,
by another car, and
by another car, and, you know, it's like a battle, you know.
In GTA, and when you get hunted down, like with like gangs,
yeah,
and
stuff. Kind of, yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Where, like, cops are following you and stuff like that. Like, you, like that kind of stuff, it would have been important to mention. You know, the what's his name, Badowski, in his tweet, he says, also car ambushes exist in the final game, almost verbatim to what we showed in the demo, which is important to mention because essentially what he's saying is that, yeah, car ambushes are there, but they're exactly the way we presented them in the demo. So, and Angry Joe talked about this in his video. He says all the car ambushes are not really random. They're not really everywhere. They're all, it's just one predefined thing that triggers a car ambush. And I don't know if it happened more than once or twice, but apparently car ambushes are not that, prevalent.
So in other words, it's non-randomized car ambushes. So it's like they're usually connected to something specific, and that's when you get it. Kind of like
that's kind of like
the intro of the game where, you know, that one, the car rolls up on you after when you're driving away from that one place and he starts shooting at you, right?
Yeah, it cannot, yeah. Like if you're driving around the normal world, that does not happen. Randomly, it does not happen at all. It's all during missions that it happens. And even that's rare too, you know. I didn't realize those were heavily advertised because I didn't watch that fucking demo or whatever. I pretty much stayed away from all that shit. But yeah, we've covered this game to death. So yeah, we know they've purposely lied about a lot of shit, you know. And they seem to be paying the consequences now. There's another lawsuit being brought against them. You know, it's fucking crazy shit. All right, anything else you guys want to say about the Cyberpunks? This story will not end, Ben. You know, it will not end.
A lot of people
see when it's up and running, when it gets back on PSN. I'm just curious, at what point does Sony bring them back?
Yeah, when they fix the shit. But here's the funny thing, by the way.
But that's what I'm saying. What does that mean? I mean, you guys just brought up a bunch of good points of things that are missing. Will Sony say, hey, here's our checklist. This, and that needs to be in. Not just, because you fixed some of the bugs before. All this other shit needs to be in so that way customers don't bitch.
Well, that's going to be a long fucking time. You know, who knows?
You heard, man. They're doing physical refunds now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
physical. I want to bring another quick thing from the tweet. The third part doesn't really interest me
about that. The Polish shit, I don't care about that.
Yeah, that's kind of the second part where it says, Jason Schreier said that most of the staff knew that this game wasn't ready for release in 2020. But in fact, he only interviewed around 20 people that either work there or have worked there, or that are no longer employed by CD Projekt Red, which I find interesting. I don't know which one is more interesting: the fact that 20 people apparently knew that this wasn't ready, or the other 480 people who didn't know this was ready in 2020. You know?
Yeah, because remember they claimed like, oh yeah, we tested the last gen version and they were fine. We found it was fine. Like, who the fuck did you have playing this shit? You know?
Yeah, I mean, you literally run that intro of the game and you literally start seeing glitches and crashes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, what's your take on this, man?
Well, I would be shocked if CD Projekt Red does not declare bankruptcy by the beginning of next year.
Whoa.
Because here's the thing. When you have class action lawsuits are serious, right? But usually when you have a customer grievance that turns into a class action lawsuit, sometimes you can dismiss it with some legal finagling, or sometimes companies settle. These are investors filing separate class action lawsuits that may merge into one big lawsuit, but you can't finagle your way out of that. They're not going to settle because they were banking on making millions from the success of this. So there's no way to smooth this over with an out-of-court settlement. So this, the ruling of this, and I don't see any way out of it, the Polish laws are probably stricter than ours. In terms of like the Federal Trade Commission and things that we have in terms of misrepresentation of product and false advertising and all that stuff. So I don't see how they have a leg to stand on. So if they have a ruling against them, they stand to lose millions, and I don't see them getting out of this. Mm. You know?
That would be bad, man. I mean, all because they rushed the fucking game.
Yeah.
Well, and also another thing to note, it's, you know, they have sold a lot of copies of this game. Who knows what the effects are of the refunds, not only in PS4, but Steam and GOG, but also the fact that this whole year is dedicated just to fixing the game.
Yeah.
And how big of an effect, you know, because they're not selling these patches, you know, the DLC, who the hell knows when that shit's going to come out. You know, they gave that, you know, that that timeline that didn't really have months or quarters or anything. It's just like, oh, this is coming out in this order, essentially in 2020 or 2021. So, man, it's not looking great, man. It's kind of sad, honestly.
They face a nightmare scenario too. So, and the problem with court cases is you're supposed to keep everybody's, not necessarily under NDAs, but for legal reasons, nobody talks about the case or whatever. But you have people who are burnt out working on this game, right? And usually when you have those kind of crunch periods, you have a relaxed period. Like, okay, we released, the game went gold, it's out. People take vacations, people's hours get dropped back, you know, they can take a leave of absence or whatever. Things calm down before the next development cycle. That is not happening now for these guys. So imagine somebody key in their team gets disgruntled, leaves, and then just goes to the press or goes to Schreier or somebody and says, yes, we knew that this game was fucking broken. Yes, we knew we were lying and blah, blah, blah. That would just damn them completely because they can't stop somebody from doing that. And I totally see that happening.
It's happened.
Happened, and it could happen because the head of the company comes out with the video, and then that other video came out and said, oh, you're full of shit. Play the hype back and go, you damn well knew what you were talking about. But if an insider comes out and says, yes, we had this, or if somebody inside takes documents or anything that they have and spills it outside, you know, just like, fuck it, you know, here's all the emails and stuff. We knew this shit was broken. Here it is. And then they're screwed, you know?
Man, what a mess. But again, you know, like we said, so they're going to spend the entirety of this year basically fixing the game. They could have just not released the game in the first place and kept working on it for next year, you know?
Absolutely.
It's fucking crazy. They all this they did to themselves, you know? Nothing to blame but them. Absolutely ridiculous. All right, let's move on, man. Last story of the night. The Uncharted movie has been delayed to February 2022. Is anybody surprised?
No.
You know, does anybody care?
You know, go ahead, Ben. Carlos.
It gives Tom Holland a few extra years to maybe look like
to grow some facial hair. Is that what you said?
Didn't he finish filming Uncharted?
They did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did finish.
So like, what's the delay effects?
Delay is the Rona. Nobody's going to go to the fucking theater right now. You know?
Yeah, they want to release it in theater.
Release it on HBO Max.
That's what I'm saying. This is the reason I really want to talk about the story. And I know we're talking about some other shit right now, but it's all related, right? Okay, so they just announced that the Black Widow movie is about to get delayed too, right? Because they want to, you know, try to put it in theaters. But my thing is like, bro, even when, like, let's just say things go well with this fucking vaccine, right? And everybody gets it who wants to get it. People are still going to be hesitant to go to the theaters. You know what I'm saying? So may as well just put it out on streaming services and get your money that way, because people ain't going to go be going to the theaters way they used to for a while, you know?
Yeah, also, people have had a taste of simultaneous release. Yeah. You can't go back now.
You can't go back. That's it. You can't. That genius out of the bottle.
It tastes so good on the lips. Say it.
Yeah.
It tastes so good.
I watched that fucking Wonder Woman. The movie was trash, but it was like, yo, I saw it.
It was right there. Yeah, it was right there.
In the happy place.
Yeah, you know? At least I didn't have to leave my house to be disappointed.
Yeah. That's the point. It's like, okay, and Chris, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I was just going with the whole, like, hey, people ain't going to be going back to theaters. But you're right. That's the other aspect. People are used to seeing these fucking brand new movies at home. You can't bring it back, man. That's it. You know. But again, no matter what, and I know you'll agree with this. People are not going to be going to the theaters the way they used to for a while.
No, it's going to take a while to get the confidence back.
So why? Yeah. Again, why? I just answered my own question. I was going to ask, why are they holding out? Because executives are fucking idiots. That's why. They think everything is going to go back to normal. No, I just
wait. Wait until motherfucking Uncharted goes head to head with Fast 9. See how that shit does for you.
Isn't that both Sony? Aren't they both Sony?
No, Fast 9 is Universal. Yeah.
Oh, Universal. Okay. Yeah.
But my thing is, Fast 9, motherfuckers ain't gonna go to theater for that. You know,
movie with the family.
Universal already said they were doing digital.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, all of these movies are getting delayed.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, Black Widow, Fast 9, fucking Uncharted. It's James
Bond.
James Bond. Yeah. There's gonna be a freaking backlog of things whenever this thing actually clears.
Maybe they can fix lousy movies while they're at it.
But you don't have a consensus among the studios either how they're handling this. You have Warner Brothers completely on the simultaneous release train, at least for this year.
Yeah.
Everything they got coming out that's big is coming out on HBO Max at the same time as hitting theaters. They don't care.
Give me that King Kong, son.
Right? So, you can see Godzilla vs. Kong day one right in your house. But then you have Disney like cherry picking, like, oh, you know, we'll put Mulan up, we'll put Soul out, but we won't put this other Pixar movie out, and we won't put Black Widow. It's like, no, you can't do that. You have to pick a lane. Either you're going to support the theaters and go all in on that one, or you have a streaming service. You could do the simultaneous release because you have other people doing it, and they've been, and you have, well, proper VOD. Disney did this retarded VOD with Mulan, which was completely ridiculous. $30 for a movie you don't own, by the way. Yeah. You have to keep subscribing to Disney Plus to access it.
People forget about that. They're like, oh, how are they going to make money? The double dip, because then people that want to quit, like, yeah, you can go ahead and quit the service, but you got to go buy it if you want it digital. It's just a rental.
No, they'll never do that again. The backlash was immense for Mulan. They'll never do that. That's why they released Soul completely, no strings attached.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Sure, that would be great.
But I'll have some happy news right before that. I got some happy news for you guys.
Oh. Off the air. Ready. Go ahead, man.
No, for this. For here.
Okay. Anyway, Brett, what's up?
Don't the actors have a lot of say in that too? Because as far as I understand, like, they really had to fight with Gal Gadot to get Wonder Woman even out, because a lot of them have
I got your answer, bonuses. Brett.
They all have, a lot of them have bonuses depending on how much it makes in theaters. And now that things aren't in theaters, they're kind of fighting against renegotiations.
Warner Brothers. Oh, go ahead, Manny.
I was going to say, because those digital platforms function under a different residuals than actual TV stuff. So yeah, they have to do. There has to be a spread. It has to be a part of the deal. So yeah, maybe she's like, no, I want my money.
But they had to give her like, what was it, $10 million?
Jesus.
Well, the thing with HBO Max and Warner Brothers, they didn't tell anybody about all of the movies coming out on HBO Max. All of these fucking studios were pissed. You know, what's her name? The Wonder Woman director. Fucking Patty Jenkins, she was fucking pissed. You know,
yeah, what the hell are you doing? Well, those decisions to mean being above that. Remember, AT&T is not a movie studio. They own all of that now. They just want to see returns, right? So they're like, we have a streaming service and we're not leveraging this. They think that's the future. AT&T is all about internet and connectivity. So they're like, this is where you should be pushing things, not theaters. Fuck the theaters, put it out on this. That is why they've gone for 100% simultaneous release. Yeah, they're screwing over the actors, and the directors are pissed because they lose out on those theater bonuses. AT&T doesn't give a shit about that. They're looking at pushing their services, everything as a service. That's what they think the future is. They're like, fuck theaters. They don't care if theaters die.
But my thing is, what the hell do these actors expect? Like, okay, you release it in theaters. No one's going to go to the fucking theaters. So what the hell?
Yeah, they have, you know? A lot of these actors have revenue for the box office. So they think that, you know, they're going to lose money on that. I think all of that should just be renegotiated, to be honest.
Yeah, this is a different circumstance. People are not going to movies. Yeah, and they're not going to be. I just saw, right, it's funny, we're talking about this. I just literally just saw it on Twitter as we're doing the show. So the Ghostbusters movie's been delayed, and the fucking
hey, oh no, yeah, I got some good news of Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters and another movie coming out next year. Now they're both coming out. Oh, the Morbius movie. I forgot that was still in production.
Oh, yeah.
So everything's going to be late till next year now. It's like Hollywood and these actors better get with it. It's like things ain't going back to normal this fucking year, you know, with theaters or anything really. You know, so put your shit out on streaming and that's it.
Obvious.
It's crazy.
You'll get more attention that way.
Yeah, and that's what it's they ultimately crave, you know, attention and shit. That's why these actors have been going on these, like, you know, you've seen them doing interviews with everybody now, you know, because they need that attention.
It's saying that goal is still for June 21.
Really?
20?
That's what I'm looking. I'm just looking up now to see about it. Everything says June, this year, 2021. I'm looking now to see if it's been bumped.
Morbius.
Ghostbusters is going from June 11th to November 11th, Adam.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
That shit probably not even gonna come out in November either.
See, that sort of knocks my happy news, I was going to tell you.
Okay, well, what's the happy news?
The happy news, Yahoo.com did an interview with Jason Reitman, which is the director of the Ghostbusters, the new one, Afterlife. Also the son of Ivan Reitman, the director of the first two. And his dad went to Sony Studio to see a pre-screening of what they had. And afterwards, he said he came out, cried, and said he was proud to be his father.
Yeah, so he's not going to say the movie sucked. You know?
No, but he didn't have to do the crying. He could be like, he did a good job. He said for that to happen, to see his dad react that way, just showed that he's doing something, keeping true to what he knows, not just what his father would like, but what the fans would like. So this was him getting like the double thumbs up. And this was something that he's never received from his... this isn't his first time directing. He's done others. So to get this reaction from his father... it just put this more emphasis on him that he was just doing everything the way it should be done and that the fans were going to be happy with the final product. But then that also, that's what I'm saying. It's like they do this whole article talking about the film is pretty much done. They're just editing and stuff. And then now you said it's pushed for another year. I'm like, you're just sitting on something.
A couple months from June to November now.
But could be another year. We don't know.
It could be Chris. It could be another year.
Yeah, when you get to November, you're right toward the end.
We'll see how long Ivan Reitman's tears last.
You see, there you go. They're drying up already right now. But here's the shit I don't get. If they got that much done, then they're pushing it because of the hopes that everything will get back to my own. I also believe, I hope that everything works out. But like you said, people aren't just going to be like, I got my shot. Run it to the theater. It's not going to work that way. Yeah. You know, so since we know this movie is done pretty much, and especially by that point, it's going to be done. This could always change. We could always see them work out a deal with one of these services, with Peacock, with whoever is willing
to pay. They should do that.
Because there's that movie. Shit, I wish I remembered it. There was a new movie that's coming out, and it was they're doing these network auctions. I don't know if you heard about this, where the studios, they make a movie, and then they auction it off to the networks to see who wants it, meaning like a Netflix, Peacock, and CBS. And Netflix has been putting in big money, and it was a recent movie that did that. And I'm like, that makes perfect sense, because they know they can't do the theaters and all stuff. So they're like, all right, we filmed this movie. And I remember Bright was like that, the one with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Remember that one? That was the same thing, that they filmed it, then Netflix saw it and was like, we'll take it. It won't go to theaters. We want that exclusive. And so, and of course, we got The Rock doing another one like that, right? There's a movie that's coming out that's on Netflix.
Got what's his face? With Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get closer towards that time, toward the summer, and they were like, some of these networks like, you know, we need something now. All right, how much you want for it? Let's just get it now. Let's get a price. And I could see something like that because it's already done.
Yeah. So. It's crazy times, man. So there you go, Uncharted. You know, then again, who cares? Who cares? No one's anticipating that shit, you know? It's going to be trash. All right. I think we're done here. So does anybody need to plug anything?
I got stuff. I got my PC stuff. Don't forget, A Future State of Wonder Woman just came out with a story by me, Aletha Martinez, and Mark Morales. We just did we have a Nubia story in there. It's that's out right now. I would show you what that is, but I got a mess, and a bunch of other DC stuff, and you know. So, yeah, stay tuned for all of that.
Adam, man, you got anything?
The thing is, Walking Dead released a trailer for the upcoming 6 episodes that are coming to finish up season 10. And that's the thing. What was it? The day? It's sometime in February. But, I Am Negan, a podcast that's coming back. So we're looking forward to that. Can't wait to watch some more Walking Dead. Walking Dead proper. None of that World Beyond shit. Walking Dead proper.
Nice, nice. All right. It's going to do it for us, people. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. And subscribe to us on YouTube and join our Discord where it is always popping. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. You can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links to all of that stuff is down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Hey, kids, the secret word is...
Gonorrhea.
Got it. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
What's the secret word? I can't remember.
I forgot. Sorry. Anyway, Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Make some space on your consoles. Get that Division 2 ready.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, folks.
And Brian Majoma.
I wonder how these guys on Twitter have so much time to, like, not play games. Like, how? Like, these guys can talk about games all day, but they don't play them. How's that possible? I don't
know, man. Well, they're too busy arguing about them.
Yeah, too busy arguing to play a game, man.
Simple, Brian. Simple.
More games, less Twitter.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Less Twitter in general. Don't wait for that place. All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Peace out.
Yes. Deuces.
Hello.